As all of you know, last night, yesterday, late evening on the Pacific Coast, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice of 27 years, died. She was the most liberal, and perhaps as far as those who believe in biblical values, was the worst judge that has ever been on the Supreme Court. And this brings us to a turning point in America, a turning point in the history of how things are being fulfilled. And these events are connected to end-time biblical prophecy fulfillment. I imagine that many of those in the first century, when they read the things about the return of Christ, were hoping he would come in their lifetime. But it never did. And down through history, there are always a lot of false starts. But now, we're going to see we are getting in to the real events that are going to really take place. Okay? Israel, being America today, and Britain and Northwestern Europe, but mainly America. Because from America, that's the only place in the world the gospel can be preached. And in Matthew 24, it says, "And this gospel must be preached to all nations, to the world, and then the end shall come." Now, we can't leave it to the two witnesses. Because as we will see a little later, the two witnesses come on the scene just before the Great Tribulation starts. So we can't say, "Oh, well, they'll do it." No, they won't do it. Their witness will be entirely different than the gospel. Their witness will be the part of the gospel. God is coming. He's going to take over the world, which will occur on the Feast of Trumpets. And that this whole satanic system is absolutely wrong. And they will have supernatural power, we'll see, that when their enemies come to kill them, fire comes out of their mouth and destroys the enemy. So we can't leave it to the two witnesses. God is already preparing by having Bibles, the physical ones, digital ones, in all languages, available to anyone who has a phone. Now think about that. You talk about a witness that God is going to bring. Okay? Now then, first of all, we have the judgment of America. And we have a choice as never before. And it's going to be a choice that all of those in every aspect of American life will have a part in deciding the fate of the nation. Why? Because it is an election year, right? So from the president on down to the Senate and the House, all governors, all legislatures, all citizens are going to have a part in deciding, does the correction on America come with greater fury, or will God's hand be lifted? So let's come to Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Let's see how God looks at it and how he operates and what he requires. Okay. And it's also very interesting that 1 week from today, what's going to happen in Washington, D.C.? A day of national prayer and repentance led by Franklin Graham and Jonathan Cahn and many other of the Protestants. Okay. Now then, will that be along with other people who support it, enough to keep God's hand of correction from coming down hard all at once. Now think about all that's been going on. All the riots, all the burnings, all of these things going on. And remember that President Donald Trump, a lot of people don't like him. Well, why don't they like him? Because he does what he says he'll do. And a lot of people don't like him because it goes against the deep state and the establishment, which also is in every nation of the world. Every government in the world has a deep state. So here's what God told Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had a message of death and destruction. So he says, verse 1, Jeremiah 5, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man, just one man. And if there is one who does justice and seeks the truth, I will pardon it. Meaning, God will pull back his hand. So that's quite something. So you think about it. Now, if you don't care for Donald Trump because of his mannerisms, you need to think about why is he there? Because God raises each one up as they should be, right? Okay? Is he doing what it said here? Does he want justice? Does he seek peace? Yes, he does. And here's one thing else that he's going to do. Come to Jeremiah 19. And it's interesting what Jeremiah had to do. Now remember, Jeremiah started out when he was probably 18 at the most. So here is the biggest thing that needs to be tended to. And with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, what a struggle that's going to be. They need to have a Supreme Court justice on the bench. So the Supreme Court will be the instrument of yea or nay against how fast the correction comes. So let's read it. Thus says the Lord, go get a potter's earthen jar and assemble some of the elders of the people and of the elders of the priests. You get all of the leaders out here, okay? And you go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom by the entrance of the potsherd gate. And there declare the words that I shall tell you. Now we're right at that point in America, right here. Okay? Let's read it. Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, which shall cause the ears of him who hears to tingle. Now here's why. So this makes next Sabbath very important. Because these people have knowledge of God, not full knowledge of the whole truth. So God is not going to judge them necessarily the same way he judges the church. But do they want justice? Do they want to stop abortion? That's what this is all about right here. Let's read it. Verse 4, because you have forsaken me and have profaned this place and have burned incense to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Now, what is the blood of innocents? Who is the most innocent? The one in the womb. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you do, makes no difference. Every time there is a begettal of new life in a woman's womb, God is part of it, whether they're righteous or not righteous. Why is that? Because he gives the spirit of man at conception to that new life. Because that new life would not be new life if it didn't have the spirit of man. So, filled the place with the blood of the innocents. Okay. Back then, they actually sacrificed the children. Here, they killed them without ever having a chance to live under the Constitution, which the Declaration declares the right of life, right of life. They're deprived of it. They've also built high places to Baal to burn their sons in the fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I never commanded nor spoke, nor did it come to my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And if there's not enough repentance to get a new Supreme Court justice that will give the vote to stop this slaughter of the innocent, it's going to come just like here. No more be called the United States of America, but the Western colony of China. Because God means business. So we'll have to see what's going to happen. Donald Trump has already declared that he's going ahead with the nomination and the vote. And it looks like he will get it this way. 51 minus Collins, Murkowski, and Romney. That makes it 50. And Vice President Pence, the 51st vote. He can get it. Okay. Now that shows you how close this is going to be. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So you watch. If they're able to get someone on there to bring abortion down to only extreme need, then we are going to see Antifa, Black Lives Matter, take over the country. And that's punishment for killing 62 million innocent lives. Now, the other thing I want to cover, which is biblical times, which is this. The same week, It was on Tuesday. They had the signing of the Abrahamic agreement or covenant. Interesting. And I've said that what? There has to come a time that the Muslims say we're tired of death. We're tired of war. We have reached that point. So this is significant because this is going to set up a fulfillment in prophecy. Let's come to Daniel 11, okay? And let's see what it has to be. Verse 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him. So there must be a king of the south, correct? The end time cannot come until there's a king of the south, right? And there also has to be a king of the north, correct? Okay. What's happening now looks very much like it's going to line up so that the Muslims will be united and they will have a great religious center in Egypt, which will be the center, and they will have someone like who is the head who will be, in the Bible language, king of the south. So we don't know how long. We don't know how long there's going to be peace. We don't know how long it's going to take for this to get together. But this is unheard of, what they are doing right now with the Jews and with the Muslims and with America leading the way. And it's interesting, Donald Trump has used Jared Kushner, who is a Jew, to deal with the Jews. And Donald Trump is dealing with the Muslims. Okay? So there has to be a king of the south. Okay? And a king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overthrow and sweep through. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Okay? Now then, so there has to be a king of the north. That's being set up right now. How is it doing? Well, who is it going to be? Probably going to be the Germans. And they will come on as the savior of Europe, well, along with France, with those who are dedicated to the ones who tried to assassinate Hitler. They will say, we want peace, we want unity, we want all of these things. Now remember, in each case, the king of the south and the king of the north, the first one may not be the one who's going to carry out the last details of the prophecy. You may have one or two come before the final one. Okay? So there's got to be a king of the north. How is it already starting? Number one, Trump is making them pay for their own defense. Billions and billions of dollars. Hundreds of billions. Okay? And he wants them to protect themselves. So what is that going to leave? That's going to leave a need for a European Union leader. So we can see that happen. Whoever thought that you would have such a thing as the Jews and the United Arab Republic and Bahrain signed a peace accord with the Jews? So there has to be the king of the north and the king of the south. Now let's come to Matthew 24 and let's see what's the next thing that has to happen. Okay, and we are getting close to that time. And what is the most significant thing in the agreement between the Jews and the Muslims? Is it peace? Well, that's one, but it's not the most important. Is it trade? That's another, but it's not the most important. What is the most important? The Muslims get to go to the Mosque of Omar in Jerusalem to worship Allah. Which tells you what? The Jews are never going to build the temple there, right? Now you've got all the Muslims' allegiance toward the Mosque of Omar, and they're happy that they can go there peacefully. Now, if you don't have the DVD we have, where the temple going to be, it's actually going to be south. We've covered that many times. But I got a report right here. Israel's top rabbi. I'm currently in discussions with the Messiah himself, because they believe in 36 wise men, and one of them will become the Messiah. They believe in a physical man being the Messiah. Well, the physical man, the Messiah, has already come. You know, they're 2,000 years late. Okay. Now, a Haredi rabbi, privily of secrets concerning the Messiah, was sworn to silence for several decades by hidden righteous men, but they have now ordered him for the first time to publicize their messages about the current events and the imminent arrival of the Messiah. They tell him that it is literally a matter of life and death. Rabbi Zeis Holtz, referred to as Rabbi Elazar Menachem Man Shach, a leading Lithuanian Jew rabbi, this is the one who passed away in 2001. The rabbi was referring to the Jewish mystic tradition brought in the Talmud that states that at all times there are 36 special people in the world, that were it not for them, all of them, if even one was missing, the world would come to an end. So he says, there is a Messiah in potential in every generation, and there is Tzatzikim, that is Tzatzikim, that means the ones who know him, who know precisely who it is. Rabbi Zeitz explained that he had been charged by these hidden righteous men to break his silence and begin informing the public of the imminent arrival of the Messiah. What will be the next astounding news that the Jews will be all excited about? They can't build a temple on the Mosque of Omar. And as you know, that sits on territory that was formerly Roman territory, and the temple was never there. That's why all those stones are still on one top of another. Now, if you look at it from north going south, here is Fort Antonio. Below that, there used to be a ridge going out this way, and the temple was down there, about 600 cubits away from the fence of Fort Antonio. And guess what? The Jews will suddenly discover that's where to build the temple. Okay. Now, why is that necessary? All right. We know it. Let's come here to Matthew 24. Okay. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. Therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now, there's only one place that is a holy place. A lot of people said, well, they can just pray and hallow the ground and have sacrifices there. No, the Jews are not going to settle for that. Okay? And God isn't going to settle for that. Okay. The only place there's holy places where? In a temple where the Holy of Holies and the Ark would be. Now, we don't know if they, you know, the Ark is another question. It's probably in heaven, but they'll have it without it. Okay. And you know, if you don't believe this, you go to templeinstitute.com and you look up how much they've already prepared for the temple. So the next major thing to happen in Israel is not the peace with the Muslims. The next major thing is going to be the temple. Okay? Now, the next statement, because this tells us a time setting right afterwards. Here's the parenthetical statement. The one who reads, let him understand. Jesus did not say those words because he was talking. These were put there when the New Testament was canonized by the Apostle John, because he had the prophecy of Revelation 11 in the temple, but by time God gave him the prophecies of Revelation, the temple had long since been destroyed. So he didn't understand it. So he said, let the one who reads understand. Okay? Now, we can understand because we know what the difference is. And at the time, the temple was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD. The abomination of desolation did not occur. The man of sin, the son of perdition, did not come in to the holy place, the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and say he was God. Didn't happen. Okay? So, when the Jews start building the temple, you know the time is short. Now, we also know that right in the middle of it, okay, verse 21, when that man goes in there, 2 Thessalonians, we won't go there, we've gone there before, second chapter, and says, I'm God. Verse 21, for then there shall be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. This is the last 3.5 years right here. Okay? Now, if you don't have our Daniel and Revelation series, you write for it. And we've got a big 11 by 17 chart, which takes the last 7 years, okay, and lays it out. Now, one final thing, okay? Let's come to Daniel 9. One final thing. A lot of people are going to say that the signing of this agreement by the Jews and the Muslims is the agreement of Daniel 9, but it's not. It's paving the way. Okay, because you have to have all the Arab, all of the Muslim nations come together. You have to have Europe come together. Then you have the King of the North, King of the South. Meanwhile, over here in Asia, China's developing. Okay? So, let's read it. Verse 26, Daniel 9. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Okay? Now, we've got the book. The appointed times of Jesus, the Messiah, which lays all of this out step by step, so you know how it's going to come together. So if you don't have that, get that. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, now, that's what he's going to do. But first, there's a peace accord. We'll read it here. But the end shall be with a flood, and into the end the war of desolations are determined. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, not just with the Jews. Because you read Revelation 13, what is that? That's the beast power and the whole world. See? So right now, God is not letting the nations come together the way that they have been trying to with the one world order. That will come together when the beast power comes on and shows what a great leader he is. Then all the nations will be willing to join. That's the covenant. And when that happens, that will be the beginning of the 7 last years. The middle of it will be the abomination of desolation and the great tribulation the last 3.5 years. So we're sitting right now. All of these building blocks of prophecy are being moved into the right place. So if you've ever wanted to live in biblical times, guess what? You're living in them. And we're seeing them. And we can see them happen instantly. How long did it take us to know when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died? Minutes. Everywhere around the world. And the Bible, in saying that all the world, all nations, all of this, see, what supports that? All of this instantaneous communication.